Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today's episode is brought to you by not one, not two, but at least three cows. And with that, I'd love to introduce y'all to my friend Tim Morgan from New Hampshire. Tim, tell everybody hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, thank you. How are things up north?
You know, it's chilly for an August day here.
Oh, what's chilly for you, though? It's probably cold for me.
Well, you guys have your parkas down as soon as it hits 50.
Well, I think we have those out at 60, to be frank, you know, but, you know, we'll let you think it's 50.
Well, whatever, you Southerners.
Mm-hmm. So tell the world where you're located, how long you've been in the business, any little tidbits so they will know exactly who is telling the story you're fixing to tell.
Yeah, so my name's Tim Morgan. I work at RE/MAX Insight up here in New Hampshire in Massachusetts, and I've been selling real estate for about 3 years now, and I love it.
Well, you know, 3 years makes you a survivor. And so if you're a consumer listening to this episode, you should know 3 years is a big deal in real estate because 85% of licensees give up within the first 2 years. So anybody that survives over 2 years obviously has figured out how to do it correctly and well. So yay, look at you. You're old school now, even though you're like, I don't know, 12 or something.
Woohoo. Yeah, like 12 and a half.
Well, maybe 14. I think I called you 12 when I met you at that event, or is it 14?
You did. You did. I'm officially 21 now, so legal.
You are so fancy. Okay, so you have a fantastic story to tell, and I'm not going to lie. I've heard it before, y'all, but I'm still going to enjoy every second of it again. And of course, Tim, you know the ground rules of the podcast. You can talk salty, but no F-bomb GD or see you next Tuesday. And don't use real names because the people in your story need to have their names concealed. So with that said, I think people need to know what happened up in New Hampshire.
Yeah, so story takes place. I was pretty new in the business, probably only a few months. And I had been working with a client, really nice guy, but, you know, a little bit painfully awkward, kind of shy personality. You know, he's got that engineer introvert. You could tell, you know, he's a thoughtful guy. And we've been looking at houses after work. And so up here in New Hampshire, it gets really dark really early. We get snow and he's, you know, we had looked at a few homes and each time I'd show him a house, there would be a little bit of an awkwardness at the end of the showing. And, you know, the end of the showings is when most agents have that debrief time with their clients. You go over, you know, how the house was, if they've seen anything else that they'd like to see, you know, if they want to write an offer on the house that they just saw. But, you know, this guy just really didn't want to talk at the end of the showings, just kind of was awkwardly said goodbye, hopped in his car and went away. And so this one night, it's in the winter. There's definitely a lot of snow and we're seeing some condos up here. And we saw this, you know, vacant property and he set up a showing on it and we meet at the house. And as we're walking through the house, I'm giving my tour, flicking on all the lights. And as we finish the downstairs, we head upstairs to the top. And the way it works is with a two-bedroom condo that kind of created a little bit of a loop through the master bathroom. So as I stepped into the master bath, off the master bedroom, I turned around to my client and he had dropped his pants. So, you know, I'm stuck in a little bit of a hairy situation there.
So to speak.
And yeah, you know. So, you know, that pause as a new real estate agent, it's pretty scary. I mean, you know, you don't know your clients really that well. And, you know, you definitely never expect them to drop their pants on you.
And you're trapped because the bathroom can only be exited through the bedroom. So it's not like you had multiple exits.
Yeah, no, I'm totally trapped. And it's a vacant house. So there's like no one coming home to save me. And the detached condo. So, you know, if you're screaming, you're not being heard. So that, like, that moment when you turn around, you know, these are the things you hear about once in a, you know, blue moon. So I'm standing there and I didn't even know what to say or what to do. A, because I was so shocked because this guy is, you know, Mr. Introverted. And he's, you know, gesturing for me to give him a blowjob. And just in that instant, I said, nope, real estate services are the only thing I provide. And he awkwardly pulled up his pants. We finished our showing, didn't really say a word. And after he got home, he actually, we recapped, I texted him, and he ended up buying the condo that we saw that night.
So you went ahead and followed up with the guy who dropped his pants. First of all, that's impressive, because I'm pretty sure I would have changed my phone number, gone into hiding. But he buys the one that he exposed himself to you in. He bought that unit.
That exact unit, yeah. I think, you know, he had bonded with the unit at that time.
I mean, they teach you about buying signals when you're talking negotiations and you're in any sales strategy class, but I never knew dropping pants was a sales buying signal. Did you?
I did not know that one, no.
Have you seen it since then? We have to ask if anybody else has done this to you since this guy.
No, I have never had that happen. Not since.
And did you ask him to send his friends and family to you as a future client, or did you just not prospect him again?
I did, actually. I was really nice. So I'm sure professional, you know, followed up with him. He got the Christmas card. He'd get the little drip gifts and the candles at, you know, holidays. And he ended up relisting his house a couple years later. And he hired another young real estate agent, and I did not get a call back. So I was a little bit hurt by that.
Except that maybe he was dating the other agent. I mean, you don't know, because you rejected him outright. I mean, he was obviously hurt by that.
I think so. I'm going to blame it on that.
It was a love thing, not a real estate thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's so many angles I could take in talking about a story like this. But honestly, in the real estate world that we're in right this particular minute, the first thing I'd like to address is your safety, because the general realtor public is terrible at protecting themselves from a safety standpoint.
Absolutely.
And as a mother and a broker and a middle-aged person in general, so I hear your story and I want to just come pop your hand and say, you put yourself into a dangerous situation. So looking back on the younger, less experienced Tim, what tips would you give yourself now before you went to show a property that was vacant?
You know, you need to tell someone where you're going. That's the first step in real estate is, you know, have a buddy, someone in your office, an admin, you know, someone that you tell everything to. They know your clients like you know your clients. And, you know, you let your client lead the way. That night I was probably caught up in getting the lights turned on, but you really need to let your client kind of venture out first in the property. And, you know, unless you know them a little bit better, this guy, you know, something was a little bit weird. I thought he was off, but I never expected that to happen.
Well, and I think it happens, too, when you're newer in the business. You're so anxious for a sale. And often, you know, we do have realtors that have cash flow issues and they need a sale as much as they want one. And so they wind up putting themselves at risk for that. And, you know, many offices have code words and safety phrases, but you were not in the position where you could get to your phone. So absolutely, letting the client be in front of you is better. And then also, you want to make sure that you've got an escape route from the house. And so we tell our agents, is that an airplane going over your head?
It is, yeah.
Awesome. So you stacked the cows and then an airplane went by. You have airplanes in New Hampshire? Are they going over you?
We do. We actually have a really nice airport here. The cows were stacked so high that, you know, I was up with the towers.
Oh, we should tell our listeners the joke about the cows is that where Tim is in New Hampshire, he had to stack cows to get enough signal to record this podcast remotely. So it was a cow joke, and we forgot to bring that into our story about the vacant listing. But anyway, when you're showing this property, you want to make sure you've got an unlocked back door and it's not deadbolted so that you can shimmy out the back entrance if you have to. We also tell agents, don't put yourself in the driveway first where you could be blocked in. And as a consumer, we're not being freak shows when we do that, but think about Tim. He's by himself with another dude in a vacant house. If the guy had been actually a creep show, not just a pervert, then he could have been at real danger. Instead, it was just, and I don't know if you would call it awkward, but you did say that introverts and engineers are awkward. I think awkward
yeah, they
is
are.
An understatement here.
Probably.
And I'll also point out, too, you did show the utmost in professionalism by staying focused on the real estate piece. You had a massive distraction, which with some clients comes in the
form of that big.
14 little kids. But this distraction was slightly more than most people would have encountered. And like I said, I might not have followed up because I would have been creeped out, but you pursued the real estate side of things and wound up helping the guy overcome his own awkwardness and get the, I was going to say get the unit he wanted because it's a condo, but I hate to keep saying unit because first of all, it makes me think of Joe Scott in Boston and Unit Realty, but also what he did to you. We should just say, I guess we just say property. We'll just call it a property.
Yeah, he definitely, the follow-up was critical because, you know, young realtors, you don't really make that much. So that was the goal.
Well, it's not just young realtors that don't follow up. I mean, let's just call that what it is. You got 50-year veterans that they ain't following up with nobody, not ever. They just expect a sale to fall into their laps. And this sale wasn't going to fall. See, I can't say anything. There's nothing I can say that doesn't apply to your situation. I was going to say the sale wouldn't have fallen into your lap, but maybe it would have. Oh, I'm too tacky of a person to discuss this topic intelligently, but I think we can absolutely say that your professionalism helped this purchaser, but there also were lessons you learned for the future. And when you meet a client now, Tim, do you meet them at a vacant property or do you have a site where you meet people?
Yeah, so generally now it depends if they're, you know, a cold client, someone that I've never met before, if they're a friend of a friend. I try to meet them. I say we do our Starbucks visit first. So meet at Starbucks and then we'll head out and show houses from there. But what I really learned from this experience is I keep a full list of who my clients are and, you know, when I'm going out with them right online. And one of my good agent friends has access to my full database and my calendar. So she knows if I don't call her twice a day, you know, something's up.
And obviously, you have a trust level with this agent partner that you can let her have your clients' names and phone numbers, and you know she's not going to snake anybody away from you. And I think that more realtors need to understand that there are good people out there that they could partner with mm-hmm. safely instead of being so daggum territorial and scared all the time to where they put themselves at risk because they won't tell anybody else who they're working with.
Well, yeah, when you know that your clients love you and you do form, you know, a good relationship with them, you're not worried about them finding another agent because chances are your customers know two or three other agents or realtors.
Yeah, it's no different than your love relationships. If you're taking care of things at home, you don't have to worry about somebody stepping out. And if you're not, then you probably should be stepped out on anyway.
That's right.
Hey, Tim, if anybody's looking for an amazing professional realtor in New Hampshire, but they know that all you provide is real estate related services, how could they reach you?
They can reach me at my email at tim@morganmoves.com or call me on my cell phone at 603-769-1571.
And as all my regular listeners know, do not fear if you could not find an ink pen that worked. All of Tim's contact information will be in the show notes for this episode, so you can call him with any of your needs in New Hampshire. I know that he will take great care of you. Tim, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm really glad that you did persevere past that crazy situation and you didn't give up on real estate.
Well, thanks so much, Lee.
And if you're a realtor, broker, investor, inspector, lender, or a consumer, and you've got your own crazy story about something that happened to you in real estate, shoot me a message at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks to be featured on a future episode of the podcast. And we will see you next time. Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.